Chelek Yud Beis, Parshas Tazria, Sicha Aleph. This week's Sicha deals with the concept of Tzaras that is discussed in this week's and next week's Torah portions. Tzaras is a condition brought upon a person as a result of a spiritual impurity. Tzaras was a unique disease that existed only when we had Batei Mikdash and was a disease visited only upon the righteous. Tzaras appears on the body of the Metzora as white patches and white hairs. A patch of white skin indicates that vitality has departed from this part of the body. But only when white hairs are seen sprouting in the white patch is this considered fully Tzaras. Where there are only white hairs, this does not indicate Tzaras. Only when a white patch precedes the sprouting of white hairs is this indication of Tzaras. The Rebbe begins the Sicha bringing a Mishnah that we learn at the end of Maseches Nigoyim, the Masechta that deals with plagues. If the white patch, im baheres kodma laseir lovan, appears before the white hair, then tummy, one is tummy, impure. If the white hair preceded the white patch, tahar, one is pure. Vim safek, and if it's in doubt, which appeared first, tummy, then he's rendered impure. Rabbi Yeshua, Keya. Rabbi Yeshua deems it unsolvable. The Gemara in Maseches Nozir asks, what does Keya unsolvable mean? And answers, it means Keya, and he is Tahar. And the reason to pronounce it pure, says the Gemara, is that the last pasuk in this week's parsha reads as follows: "L'taharei u'l'tamei." The pasuk "Zois Teiras Nega Tzaraas" concludes with the words "L'taharei u'l'tamei." The word "L'taharei" first, and so where there is any uncertainty regarding a nega, the nega is deemed L'taharei, pure. In Baba Metzia, the following is recounted in relation to this law. It was debated in the Masifta Derakia in the Heavenly Academy. If the white patch precedes the white hair, it is impure. If the white hair precedes the white patch, it is pure. But what if there is doubt? To which appeared first? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it is pure. The entire Masifta Derakia said, it is impure. And they then said, who will arbitrate this for us? And they agreed upon Rabbah Bar Nachmani. For Rabbah Bar Nachmani had said, Ani Yochid B'Negoim, Ani Yochid B'Eholos. I am singularly knowledgeable in the laws of Tzaras. I am singularly knowledgeable in the laws of Eholos. At the time, Rabbah Bar Nachmani was hiding from the king as he had been accused of disloyalty to the throne. Rabbah Bar Nachmani was sitting on a stump studying Torah alone, having miraculously fled from the king's messenger. As long as he was learning, the Malach HaMavis could not take him. But a wind blew and howled, and Rabbah Bar Nachmani thought a battalion of the king's soldiers were coming for him. And he said, let me die and not be given over to the hands of the government. As he was dying, he responded to the dispute in heaven and said, Tahor, Tahor. It seems surprising, says the Rebbe, that the Heavenly Academy debates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why was Rabbah Bar Nachmani called upon to decide between them? It's known, continues the Rebbe, regarding a discussion between two opinions that negate one another, that the deciding opinion is not in agreement with one side, rather it's a third opinion that tolerates and includes both opinions. An example for this is the Midah HaShlishis, the Midah of Rachamim, Tiferes, which includes, and so to speak decides, between the two characteristics of Chesed, kindness, and the characteristic of Din, Gevura, restraint. Even though the trait of Rachamim, like the trait of Chesed, determines the need to be Mashpia, to flow with good to all, nevertheless, it includes and contains the trait of restraint. By way of explanation, the trait of Chesed sees good in everyone, and thereby all are worthy of a flow of goodness and benevolence. Contrary to this, Midas HaGvura, whose characteristic is to scrutinize with great precision until even heaven may not be meritorious in its eyes, Tiferes Midas HaRachamim determines that, though one may not merit a flow of Chesed, thereby being in agreement with Gvura, because of the Rachmanis, the compassion and mercy on another, there must be a flow to others. We understand this in our discussion in Rabbi Bar Nachmani's arbitration and decision of Tohar Tohar between the opinion of God and the opinion of the Masifta Durakia. He's not determining this way because of God's opinion of Tohar. Rather, it's a third and inclusive opinion, which the Masifta Durakia too does not negate. The reason that Rabbi Bar Nachmani was able to arbitrate between God and the Masifta Durakia was because, as it says in the Gemara, he declared of himself, Ani Yochid b'Negoyim, Yochid b'Eholos. I have singular knowledge in Negoyim and Eholos. And he was therefore able to be Mechadish, a decision which incorporated both opinions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Masifta Durakia, and to arbitrate between them. The Rebbe continues and says, we can understand this with a preliminary explanation found in Likutei Torah on Parshas Tazria, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Masifta Durakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents the level of Seviv Kol Almin, godliness above all worlds, encompassing all worlds. Hence the appellation Kadosh Baruch Hu. For God is Kadosh Umuvdal, holy and separated from worlds, versus the light that illuminates in the Masifta Derikia, which is Elikus Be'erech Ha'olamos, godliness in proximity to worlds, Mimalek Kol Almin, the divine light that fills all worlds. And so, the doubt, and then God declaring Tohar, and the entire Masifta Derikia declaring Tomei, can be understood in the following way. Impurity exists as a result of ego, and thus its purification is through tefillah, immersion, whose letters, He and Vav, interchanged, give us the word bitul. The Rambam concludes Hilchas Mikvois with the following. It is clear and apparent that matters of Tumais and Taharais are Chukim, and not matters determined by one's understanding. And Mikvah, to ascend into purity, is included in this category of Chukim, because Tumah is not mud or filth to be washed away with water. Yet tefillah is a gzeiras hakosov and requires focus and intention. And thus Chazal say, if one immersed and did not intend to purify himself, it is as if he did not immerse. Though there is no change on one's body after tefillah, purification from tefillah requires that one resolves within one's heart to distance oneself from negative behaviors and to immerse oneself b'mei hadas in waters called mei hadas, waters of das. The waters of the mikvah are called mei hadas. Das being the sphira, which in kechas hanefesh, in one's spiritual state, is yichud, unification. ego can only manifest where there is room made for existence and substance. In that realm, perverse ego exists and taints and defiles. The light enclosed in world, the Ormamala, is an Ormusug, an obtainable light. This is the light of the Masifta Derakia, and thus the experience of the Bittul of this Yeshus is only a Bittul Hayesh. Yesh remains, but in a state of negation and nullification. Thus, when a question arises as to man's state of impurity, in other words, something is clearly amiss in man's behavior, he is deemed as impure by the Masifta Derakia. God, however, says that he is pure, because the experience of Yeshus beyond worlds in a transcendent light does not exist. Thus, the nullification there is a bittul b'metzias, reality totally concealed, no room for Yeshus. In other words, there's no possibility for impurity, and as such, man is declared tahar. Yet, or seviv kol almin, the light that encompasses all worlds, has a relationship with worlds. Therefore, it is referenced as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh meaning separate, separate meaning separate from something. If something is said to be separate from something else, it's understood to have somewhat of a relationship with it. Thereby we understand that the nullification of worlds in the realm of Seviv Kol Almin is not complete. However, beyond this level of bittul is the concept of bittul ha'olamos, nullification of worlds, where within atzmus umuhusay yisbarach, essential godliness, there is no experience of worlds at all. This bittul essentially negates any existence other than God. Thus, in regards to Atzmusa Yisbarach, essential godliness, the word Echad has no place. For the word Echad, one, does not negate existence of worlds. For Echad, one, serves as a numerical equation to which there is a two, a second. And the unification of Hashem Echad is where there is unification of worlds with God. And so the seven firmaments and earth in the letter Ches, in the word Echad, and the four directions of the world represented by the Dalid, the last letter in Echad, and their unification with God represented by the Aleph, all speak to a light in proximity to worlds. But the Yichud of Atzmusa Yisbarach is a light of not Echad, but Yachid, a unification where there is God alone and nothing else. With this in mind, we can understand Rabbah's statement of Tohar, Tohar being different to God saying Tohar, and why particularly Rabbah was able to arbitrate and outweigh the opinion of the Masifta Derakia. In the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Echad represents the proximity to worlds, and defines the bittul experience, and in the entire Masifta Derakia, which represents the idea of cognition and understanding, the declaration of Tomei, though they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Tahar, these two exist because the revelation of Memala Kol Almin, defining the level of Bittul in this realm, mandated a declaration of Tamei, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the realm of Seviv Kol Almin, mandated a declaration of Tahar. But Rabbah Bar Nachmani, who was a Yochid B'negoyim, contained the light of Yochid. His relationship with God was in the realm of Yachid, yet his unification was rooted in Negoim, the laws of Nega, and he was able to transmit and be Mechadish to the realm of Havana and Hasaga of the Mesifta Derakia, the Psak of Tahar. And so Rabbah declares Tahar, Tahar, two times, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Tahar only once. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu's declaration of Tahar was only in the realm that is above worlds, but Rabbah's was both of the realm of world and the realm of the light above worlds. We mentioned earlier that this din, that the suffix, whether the patch came first or the hairs, is concluded with the determination of Tahar, and that this comes from the end of our parsha. In line with this concept, that notes Tchilasan B'Seifan, that the end is rooted in the beginning, the Rebbe now makes reference to the earliest verse in this week's Torah portion and connects it to the determination of Rabbah Bar Nachmani. The portion begins with the words, Isha Kitazria V'yolda Zohar, a woman who conceives and bears a male child, upon which the Gemara comments, a woman who emits seed first will bear a male child, as a man who emits seed first will bear a female child. All physicality is rooted in spirituality. The reason that in the corporeal man and woman there is an advantage to a woman's emission and thus the bearing of a male child is because it is so in the spiritual manifestation of man and woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, God and the congregation of Israel. There is an advantage in the service of Knesset Yisrael over a revelation that comes as an Isarusa del Eila initiated by God. In the words of Chazal, greater are the acts of the righteous, Gedolim Maase Tzadikim, referring to all of Israel, as we know, for all your nation are righteous, than the actions of heaven and earth, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, godliness in proximity to world. Therein, says the Rebbe, lies the connection between the beginning of the Parsha and the end. The verse about a woman who conceives and the declaration of Tahar as it's based upon the final words of the portion. A halacha is not determined in the heavens and not by a heavenly voice. So not because God said Tahar, rather, Torah was given here below, Dafka, and God, in hearing the earthly declaration, smiled and said, my children have prevailed over me. Thus and therefore here below, Rabbah could present and determine that in this suffix, it was Tahar, Tahar, pure. Similarly, says the Rebbe, is the immanence and inwardness of this concept, the panemius. Just as Isha Mazres Tchila, Rabbah's, in other words, Knesset Yisrael represented by Isha, Rabbah's Tahar, was greater than God's declaration of Tahar, which would be represented by Ish Mazria, Rabbah's statement issuing forth from Yochid, unification of heaven and earth, decided the opinion of the Mesifta Derakia. The Rebbe concludes with the following thought, which is fascinating when one ponders this and one is a woman. As well, just as the advantage of a woman's emission in that it produces a male offspring, lies in the biological asset of a male, being strongly decisive versus a woman who has greater conscious flexibility. This manifests in our discussion in that when God determined Tahar, It did not negate the possibility of the Masifta Derakia deferring. Again, this manifests in our discussion in that when God, Ish, determined Tohar, it did not negate the possibility of Isha, the Masifta Derakia, deferring with that opinion. In other words, in God's emitting a determination, the Ish Mazria, there is room for change. Yet when Rabba emitted Isha Mazres, Tohar, Tohar, this, concludes the Rebbe, determined the Masifta Derakia's practical earthly application.